This is Vera Bernstein.
And this is Justin Carson.
And this is The Monster of Eldridge. Episode 1. Here There Be Monsters.
Hello, my name is Wilson Cheney, and I'm reporting for CBS News from Eldridge, Missouri. Last week, an older black man by the name of Skelly Manor raped a young disabled girl by the name of Eva Jackson. Manor was shot and killed by local mill owner Nellie Windrod at the site of the rape. This sleepy mining town has been shaken by this robbery of purity and innocence in a prominently Christian community. Today, we are here on site in Eldridge to answer the question, how could a town let a monster out of its cage?
Chicago, Illinois, 2014. It was the bright neon lights that drew me into the cute little diner tucked away on Polk and Clark Street in downtown Chicago during the spring of 2014. I was headed back to my dorm room after a stressful early morning exam, and I was in desperate need of coffee. I walked past this diner almost every day for the past 4 years while I was in college, and I never seemed to give it the time of day.
So why today?
I was craving coffee.
Of course you had.
And this place had the brightest neon sign claiming world's best coffee. So I had to try it out.
Yeah, of course you did.
When I entered this small diner, I was initially taken back in time. Linoleum floors, red leather hugging all the seats, and vibrant bubblegum pink walls that had the 60s tattooed all over them.
Oh, that sounds kind of, you know,
Not like that. I promise. You would think that, but I was welcomed by the warmest smile of an older woman named Cora. She looked older, but she had a youthful spring in her step and the sharpest wit. She greeted me like I was an old friend and not some zombie kid rolling in from the street.
Oh, wow. That's completely different from what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Before I could even open my mouth to order, she had a cup of coffee poured for me.
And how was it? World's best, I guess.
Yeah. I gotta say, it was a pretty damn good cup of coffee. I mean, it didn't take long for Cora to tell that I lack stories, and I mean, I didn't try to hide it.
What do you mean by that? Like,
Every time I visited the diner, I sat in a new booth, and each booth had news clippings and pictures on the wall, and I was just in awe of the life-altering events and news articles that she just had casually hanging up on her wall. One day, she teased me, saying all the best news stories are told at the bar.
Like, what kind of bar?
The bar at her diner. So, old-timey.
Yeah,
sitting where the coffee's poured and chatting. That's where, like, the investigator sits. And she would always tease me, I'm an investigative reporter. Why am I sitting in a booth taking up all this space? Why am I not at the bar?
Yeah, what kind of stories would she tell you?
Well, I asked her about those, and they intrigued me. She would always give me little pieces of the stories because she wanted me to investigate the stuff behind it. Right. And one day, I noticed this article, and it was more vague than the others. The headline read, Windrod Not Guilty, and the contents of the article were quick and dry about a trial in Eldridge, Missouri, a town I haven't even heard of before. Cora seemed very reluctant to speak on it, and it was a different vibe from what I normally got from her.
That's odd. Like, why do you think she had that shift? Like,
at first, I wasn't sure, but as she slowly started to tell me the events and what happened with the trial, it was very clear to me that this was more of a personal story. She kept this she kept it at arm's length, but the news clipping she kept right behind the cash register. It was the most precious one to her, and it was the one that she never really talked about. She would talk about all the other ones on the wall from time to time, but this one she was very secretive about, and of course I was intrigued. I wanted to know everything. And slowly she started to open up and to trust me and to tell me about the homeless man named Skelly Manor who was murdered by Nellie Windrod.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and from what the original article read, Skelly was the bad guy here. He was, what Nellie did, she cleared their town of evil. But from what Cora told me, that was not true. She passionately recalled Skelly being falsely accused of sexual assault and proclaimed that the article left out important details.
Wow. What kind of details? Did she give any kind of?
Mostly names about those who were involved with the trial and those present at the moment of the murder. It didn't even include those names. Of course, they were young children at the time, so maybe it was they were a matter of trying to protect the younger victims. But as I was looking more into it, it seemed sketchy. And I talked to Cora more, and hearing her sincerity and her pain, I asked her if I could interview her, and mainly to hear the truth, but ultimately to get some sort of justice for her and this lost soul. Thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you please state your full name for the mic?
Cora Groves.
And where were you born, Cora?
I was born a little bit outside of Centerville, more by the heavily wooded areas.
Okay. Yeah. And Centerville is near Eldridge?
Yeah, it's a town over.
How long did you live in Eldridge?
About 12 years, okay. I want to say. Yeah, I mainly lived in Centerville.
And what brought you to Eldridge?
Marriage.
Okay. How old were you when you got married?
I was young 20s, probably 22, 23. It was quickly after, you know, high school.
Right.
Kind of meet your man, go.
Yeah. How, when did you open your diner in Eldridge?
I opened as soon as I can when I got in town. So when I got married, that's when I opened.
Was the diner your idea or was it your husband's?
It's always been my idea. Yeah.
And what was your clientele in Eldridge like?
Quite interesting, honestly. Usually the older folk, they come in after church. They usually had like the same, like coffee, same meals every day, so you knew everyone's order. But it was quite quiet, not a lot of chatting in the cafe.
Any outsiders?
A few. They would either come early morning or super late at night, right before I was going to close.
When did you first meet Skelly Manor?
When I moved into Eldridge.
Immediately, or did it take a while?
Well, I heard about him first because of clientele. And when I started hearing about him, I started seeing him on the street a little bit. And so he was around the cafe a few times, so I would talk to him a little bit.
Did you approach him first, or did you approach him first?
I approached him first, yeah.
What was that like?
It was calm. He seems a little... I don't know how you would say, but a little beaten up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he was calm and he was nice, polite. You know, he knew how to talk to women, so.
And what was he like just day to day? What was his general outlook on life?
You know, I always thought him to be an interesting man, a good man, but interesting. I feel like he kind of just ran around the town. He really think too much. Almost like, almost with the wind, I want to say.
So yeah. A drifter?
Yeah, but...
Did he live in town, or was he unhoused?
He was unhoused for a little bit, so I asked him to come to my cafe.
Oh,
and he
okay.
was helping around a little bit, so
okay.
he was out in the back. But after a few things, he kind of went... kind of traveled around, went to the forest, yeah.
To your knowledge, how did the rest of the town treat Skelly?
Horribly.
Oh.
Horribly.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There wasn't much respect. I feel like no one really understood his story, so I feel like they were really quite aggressive towards him. They would chase him, call him things, throw things at him. Mock him.
Unprompted or
just, yeah.
Really?
It's whenever they could, yeah.
Whenever they could. All right. Who was the ringleader? Who led this behavior against Skelly?
It's hard because I want to say it was everyone.
Did you yourself have any interaction with rumors or things like that from them as well?
Yeah. I mean, they go to everyone. They talk to everyone, so... They would even come to my cafe once in a while, or, you know, they would see me walking around doing my groceries, and they would say something, but, yeah, it kind of went to the whole town like wildfire.
In our research, we went down to the Centerville Public Library and we found some recordings from the trial and the police statement. Check it out.
At 12:45 a.m. last night, an 18-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl were assaulted on the property of Nellie Windrow. The suspect, a 60-year-old Negro male, was pronounced dead at the scene after the owner, Nellie Windrow, shot him, acting in defense of the victims. We will be taking no further questions.
Sheriff, please, wait, where's the weapon? Where's the murder weapon? Was there a body?
So can you tell me what exactly happened to Skelly?
He was murdered.
He was murdered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was he murdered?
It's tough. He was shot.
He was shot?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times?
I'll say one.
Well, he was shot once,
but,
okay. Do you know about where, was he shot in the front, in the back? I hate to ask this question, but was it a headshot? Do you know?
I think it was the front. He was trying to stop them from whatever they were doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you react when you heard what happened to Skelly?
It was tough. No one really knew him. There was not really a lot of compassion for him. So, honestly, it really made me angry even more. It made me hate everyone even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough, but...
Did you fight for Skelly?
Always. Always fought for Skelly.
Did you have anybody else on your side, though? Did anybody else help you with that fight?
No.
You were all by yourself?
Mm-hmm. It felt like it the whole time.
So sorry.
Times pass.
Was there a burial or a service for him?
No.
No.
After everything happened, I kind of did my own thing. Collected flowers. Went to go visit the site a few times, but it was hard afterwards.
So he is buried somewhere?
Yeah. I had to take things into my own matters.
Oh.
No family, no. There was nothing for this person.
You were his family. You cared for him. So you. There, he did have someone. He had you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I was his family.
Can you tell me who was involved with Skelly's death?
Yeah. Nellie.
Nellie was the one who shot him?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Robert was there, so with Eva. I think they were having an altercation of some sort.
And you believe it was between Skelly and Eva, the altercation?
No, I actually think it was Robert.
Between Robert and Eva. Okay.
Yeah.
And were Robert and Eva, were they close? Did you see them together often, or was this... Was it abnormal for them to be in the woods together with Skelly?
I mean, I would see them talk. But, yeah, around the woods, maybe walking around a few times.
Oh, okay.
But I never really saw them with Skelly. I feel like they took the opportunity because Skelly was there. You know what I'm saying?
But, So let me get this straight. You think that Eva and Robert... were trying to bother Skelly? They were out there to bother him, maybe?
I think Skelly was already there.
Okay.
Because Skelly kind of just walks around, kind of does his own thing around town. He's a wanderer.
Right.
I think Robert and Eva were already there. And
they just happened to run into each other.
Yeah.
What do you think happened between Robert and Eva?
It's funny because you don't know what kids go out in the woods for, so...
You can make some guesses.
Yeah. So I feel maybe they were trying to do something,
and maybe Skelly caught them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the investigation into Skelly's death like? Do you think it was fair?
No.
Not at all?
No. It was biased. Yeah. It was hard because when it happened, you know, you have the voices from the other people already telling you what happened. So it was hard because I felt like the investigation was unfair. There was a lot of biases towards this person, so they automatically deemed him to be the horrible person, one that did the crime.
Did you do any sort of investigation yourself? Did you speak to Robert, Eva, maybe ask them what happened? Maybe even Nelly? Did you ask her what she saw?
I talked to Eva.
Eva?
Yeah. I felt like I should have talked to her. She looked really stressed and worried. It was like a really hardful, it was very painful to watch her around town.
Yeah.
It looked like it really got to her. I don't know what happened really.
I mean, do you know about how old Ava was?
15.
15? Well, if she saw someone die in front of her, it
yeah.
probably messed her up real good.
Yeah, that's why I felt like I should say something.
Right.
Everyone kind of pushed her aside and was so worried about the incident.
And did she share anything with you?
Yeah.
What did she share with you?
Well, I mean, she told me about how Skelly was there, but it wasn't any violence towards her and Skelly. Yeah, she never...
But she didn't specify what exactly happened.
She aimed towards Robert, but she didn't tell directly.
Okay.
But I feel like something happened with her and Robert, but she didn't tell me directly.
This is the testimony of Robert Conklin.
State your name.
Robert Conklin.
You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
There's nothing to be nervous about, Robert. We want you to tell the court, just in your own words, what happened in the night in question. Can you do that?
Yes, I think.
We know this has been a terrible shock to you.
Well, I'm okay, I think. See, Eva and I were walking. We do quite frequently. Just wandering through the woods, talking. And we noticed that it had begun to get dark, so we thought we had better start back. And we were heading back towards the main street. That would be west. And Eva thought she had heard something behind us, and we listened, but we didn't hear it again, so I assumed we were hearing things. Or it was our imagination. And it got dark pretty fast. And we were just coming into the clearing right behind the mill, Windrod's mill, and we heard something again this time, and we saw something behind the trees, and we started running. More as a joke than anything. And then he started running too. And it was Skelly. I wasn't afraid of him, but I knew he never liked my brother. And he started running too. He must have been following us all the time. Everybody knows how he spies on people. I guess just as we broke into the clearing, and he came out of nowhere. And he took us by surprise, and he pushed me. He hit me from behind. I don't know if I passed out or not. He's immensely strong. And I heard a ringing in my ears, and I saw what he was trying to do, and everything went white, and he pushed me.
How did the trial of Nelly Winrod go? What was it like?
I want to say it was really confusing. And it was tough. I felt like nothing was getting done. Constant yelling at each other.
There was yelling in the court?
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh.
Yes. The thing is, Eldridge is a small town, but I feel like it was really rowdy.
So the trial was held in Eldridge?
Yeah.
Interesting. It seems like such a small town to be able to hold a trial.
I mean, something has to be done there. So, yeah, but... It was pretty rowdy, and a lot of yelling, a lot of blaming pointing, preacher screaming, or judge, sorry. It was hard to kind of put together what was happening, because I feel like some of the stories didn't add up.
how was the preacher involved?
I mean, the preacher's involved with everybody, you know.
So religion was a big part of your small town?
Yeah, yeah, it was, it's law.
It was the law?
It seemed like the law, yeah. Everyone ran by religion. Everyone did what they ran the law, basically.
Were you religious?
No, I wasn't.
In this clip, you can hear a young Cora Groves in the courtroom at the trial of Nellie Windrod.
Baby, my baby! See her crippled body? See her broken back? Why? Why has God crushed me with this burden? I don't complain. I ask why. We love him. We bless him. Praise him. And this monster, I mean Nellie. My daughter is weak. You're trying to kill her. Look at her. Is that what you want? I only ask why. Why? I said why. I have a right to know or repent if I've done anything, if I've sinned.
Ava said to me, Ava, you know what you said. Kelly, work for me sometimes. No, you said he was on it.
My daughter has never spoken to me. My daughter has never spoken to a person like you. My daughter has been scarred, permanently scarred by this. She's crippled already. She's weak. She can't stand up.
If you listen to me.
No, no, I won't listen to you. I won't trust the word of a woman like you.
And what are you?
My daughter is a virgin. She's pure. She's a Christian from a Christian home. A daughter of God. And you put your word against the word of a virgin. A beer-swilling harlot. Everyone knows. A drunken whore of Babylon.
I talked to her because I knew Skelly would never hurt anyone. Harm anyone.
Don't make your beer parlor your house of sin. You couldn't keep your husband. You couldn't keep your whore boyfriend in the name of God. In the name of God before this court, you know what I call you? You liar before God. I won't let you call my daughter a liar. You're the liar. Before God, I call you that. On his word. His holy word. Yes, put her on the stand. Let her talk. We have nothing to hide. Ask her if she didn't give a boyfriend up to her place. Ask her what kind of woman she is.
What was the verdict of the trial?
Well, the verdict is that Nellie wasn't guilty.
So Nellie was found guilty. And what was the town's reaction to that?
I feel like they were surprised. Okay. I feel like they already deemed it the killer themselves. They already had an idea in their head. They already decided what the verdict was,
right.
Besides evidence.
And I'm assuming the trial wasn't very long. Mm-hmm. Here we hear the judge's closing statement at the trial of Nellie Windrod.
Nellie Windrod is not on trial here today. We all have long known Skelly Manor. We have known of his past, that latent evil in him, that unnatural desire, and we have long been aware that at any time the bitterness in his soul might again overflow. We let things lie. We took no action to prevent his crime, the pending at any moment crime, and the burden must be ours. We are all responsible for the shock to these two innocents.
Amen.
We are responsible for our actions and for allowing the heathen into our fold.
Amen.
Obviously, you left Eldritch behind. Why did you leave? What was your breaking point? What was the last straw?
Skelly's dead.
Okay.
Yeah. It was leading up to that point, but after everything, I just couldn't stay. You know, cafe business started dying because everyone started hating on me.
Because you,
yeah,
you wanted to support Skelly.
Yeah. And wasn't even supporting Skelly. It was just, I feel like I had to say something in general, just what happened in the town. A lot of toxicity, and I feel like for such a small town there was no community, so everyone was kind of hurting on the inside, found somebody to pick on, so they picked on Skelly. And
once he was gone, were you the target?
Yeah. And just this whole thing made me realize who these people were, and I just didn't want to be here. It wasn't good for myself, so I left.
I'm glad you left, and I'm glad you came here.
Thank you. Thank you, me too.
Thank you so much, Cora. Laura's story intrigued me, and her proclamation that this small town banded together and buried the truth of a black man's death was huge. This story was worth investigating, and I felt I owed it to Cora, and overall, to Skelly, that he deserved justice. He deserved more than what he was given, and Cora knows the truth, and she was so passionate about what she believed in, I had to look into it. So that's why I reached out to you, Justin. You grew up in Centerville, so I'm hoping you can show me around and we can start talking to people.
Yeah, I'm down to show you where the bodies are hid, I guess they say.
Great, because I already booked the flight.
I guess I got it back. Association with SCT University.